Hi, everyone, and welcome to English Digest. I'm Pat.
And I'm Tom, and it's our history unit for the month of April. And if you like violins, and if you like violin music, you might be curious about what those strings are made of. Of course, the violin itself is probably made out of wood and maybe a few pieces of metal here and there, but the strings, yeah, what are the strings made of?
Yeah, I mean, when I was a kid, I just thought, they're string. But yeah, I think of like wires, do you ever make like a guitar out of a tissue box and rubber bands, elastic bands?
We used a fishing line for the strings there.
Oh, yeah, fishing line would probably make a good sound. Right. Yeah, for us, because the tissue box would have a hole in it, so that's your body of your guitar.
Right.
And maybe you could put like a mop handle or something to make a neck and string the rubber bands across, and you play the rubber bands like it was a guitar, that kind of thing. But I was terrible at music. I've never learned an instrument. Have you?
I studied the trumpet and the drums when I was in high school, but I didn't get to be very good at it. And, of course, I've never played the violin, but I do like the sound of a violin. I do enjoy listening to string quartets and to violin concertos. Are you a big fan of violin music?
Yeah, I mean, you can't go wrong with it as a piece of classical music. It's definitely, it's good kind of background working music, pleasant Sunday morning. My parents would always play classical music when they were having breakfast, so it was one of those kind of sounds that I grew up with, even though they never played or anything, but yeah, it's just always been in the background of my parents' house. But let's find out more about violin strings by reading through today's article. Amid the audience's hushed whispers of eager anticipation, the first notes of the violin flow out across the concert hall, elegantly marking the beginning of a splendid music concert. As the violin strings vibrate under the bow, let us contemplate their journey to become what they are today. Surprisingly, traditional violin strings are crafted mainly from sheep intestines. These gut strings undergo a rigorous process to ensure the complete removal of impurities. Following the sheep's slaughter, the intestines have to be promptly harvested and thoroughly cleaned. The guts are then twisted into strings, dried, and polished before being ready for their time on the violin. Pure gut strings are unique in their warm, smooth, and expressive tone. However, they have their shortcomings. They are prone to producing a lower volume, vulnerable to changes in conditions such as humidity, and lacking in durability. To overcome these challenges, string makers began winding metal wire around gut strings around 1660, especially around the G string. This string, being the lowest pitched and thickest among the violin's four strings of G, D, A, and E, benefited significantly from better durability and sound clarity. The necessity for alternative string materials became more pressing during World War II, because of a shortage of animal guts. Consequently, metal, especially steel, became the norm. Synthetics, offering a mix of the warm tone of gut and stability of steel, gained popularity later in the century, with the Dominant series being a notable example. This string brand was launched by Austrian company Tomastic Infeld in 1970. That being said, both pure and wound gut strings continue to be used, providing violinists with a spectrum of options depending on different playing styles and requirements. Next time you hear the sweet strains of a violin, remember that behind every note lies a pursuit of excellence in both instrument production and artistic effects.
All right, it's time for us to break down the article for you. We're going to discuss it in detail. We are talking about the secret of violin strings. We're talking about melody in the gut. A melody, of course, is a song, basically how the notes go, and you probably can remember the melody and sing it yourself. But if we're talking about the gut, we're talking about the belly of somebody. Sometimes this is in the plural as well, guts. We have kind of a rude expression in English. If you really don't like someone, you could say, "I hate your guts." That's not very polite, though, but I did I did think of mentioning that、mm-hmm. just because we're talking about the word gut here. But we're talking about the stomach of an animal, in this particular case, the stomach of a sheep, as we'll find out.、
Mm. I will also mention about gut. You can talk about your gut not meaning the real organs, but kind of your inner feelings, your real core of your being. If you say, something's not right, I feel it in my gut or in my guts, you don't actually feel it in your stomach, you just feel it very deep inside you. So I do wonder whether this title kind of has a second meaning, not only that it's sheep's guts making the strings, but also that you feel violin melody right in the core of your being, right in your soul when it's being played well. But anyway, the first paragraph starts up with a quite nicely worded introduction to what you might hear when you're listening to violins. Amid the audience's hushed whispers of eager anticipation, the first notes of the violin flow out across the concert hall, elegantly marking the beginning of a splendid music concert. So a hushed whisper would be people trying to talk quietly, as they're expected to do if you've ever been to a musical recital or performance or opera. You don't want to shout loud to other people. You talk very quietly and make sure nobody is being disturbed as they're getting ready. But you're definitely in eager anticipation. You can't wait for the performance to start and this beautiful music to flow out across the hall, and it'll be elegant, it'll be kind of high class, it'll be very nice in a sort of special high quality way, as you sort of feel with a violin concert. You know, this is classical music most of the time, this is high culture.
It could be a violin concerto. Of course, you've got the soloist on stage. It could be, oh, gee, Joshua Bell or Hilary Hahn or Itzhak Perlman or someone like that. They're getting ready to play after the orchestra has played an introduction. And then the first notes of the violin flow out across the concert hall, elegantly marking the beginning of this splendid music concert. So again, you could be listening to, a violin concerto, maybe a string quartet or some chamber music or something like that. And as the violin strings vibrate under the bow, let us contemplate their journey to become what they are today.Now, of course, we're talking about the strings of the violin, and of course, you make those strings give sound by rubbing a bow across those strings. The bow has some sort of material in them as well. I wish we could talk about that as well, too, because I'm curious about what the bow is made of. But in this case, we're talking about violin strings, and they vibrate when the player pulls the bow across those strings. So to vibrate just means to go back and forth, and it means to create sound. For example, if construction is going on next door to your apartment, the sound of the jackhammer will vibrate through your entire apartment. It will be very difficult to get any sleep.
So we now move on to the next paragraph, which gives us the answer as to what the strings are made of. Surprisingly, traditional violin strings are crafted mainly from sheep intestines. Your intestines are two of your internal organs. You've got a large one and a small one. And they're the bits after your stomach and a couple of other things that process the food. It'll travel through your stomach. It'll get broken down. It'll get broken down a bit more. And then it'll flow through these long pipes that are wound and wound and round inside your stomach. And that's where a lot of the important food is absorbed into the body. That's where a lot of that happens. And these come from sheep. And it makes sense, because if you think a lot of stringed instruments are thousands of years old, there wouldn't have been much else for people to make them from if not for parts of other living creatures or, you know, plants.
All right. And of course, a sheep is an animal, and a sheep here is both singular and plural. Don't say sheeps for two or more sheep. It's both plural and singular here. And again, the strings are mainly crafted or made from the intestines of a sheep. And these gut strings undergo a rigorous process to ensure the complete removal of impurities. So again, you get this material from the gut of a sheep, and then you have the strings, and they undergo a rigorous process to make sure that they don't have any bad things in them. If something's rigorous, it is complete, it is extremely thorough, it's exhaustive, And in this case, it's a very lengthy process, and they can't make any mistakes because we're talking about classical music here. If the strings are not manufactured properly, it could cause great embarrassment to the soloist if a string breaks during a recital.
So part of the idea of this process is to remove impurities. Removal is the noun form of remove. If you want to remove something, you have to do a removal. You have to get rid of something that's there. And in this case, we're getting rid of impurities. So we're getting rid of anything wrong with these strings, these guts. Is there any damage to them? Are there any other substances inside them? Is there an infection or something in the gut of this sheep? We need to take away all of that. We need pure gut strings with nothing else in to make these strings properly. And so we learn a bit about this process. It says, following the sheep's slaughter, the intestines have to be promptly or quickly harvested, meaning to be taken out, and thoroughly cleaned. Slaughter is the correct word to use when you're killing an animal, particularly for its meat and body parts. If you take a sheep into and you're going to make the meat, same with a cow or a pig or a chicken, you are killing it in a way that means you can still use the meat properly. You can still use all the parts. You can't just, like, kill them in any way. Sheep and other animals are killed in a very special way to make sure the meat is still good. And that is why we use this more technical word, slaughter, for what is actually done to them. Slaughter can also be used in a kind of army sense in terms of killing a large number of people in a very random, indiscriminate way. So it's interesting, this word can mean a very deliberate way for an animal, but a very indiscriminate way if you're talking about lots of people.
Exactly. I could say, for example, lots of protesters were slaughtered by the police. That may have happened back at Kent State or whatever during the early 70s. But in any case here, we're talking about the slaughter of the sheep. They kill the sheep and they go into the stomach of the sheep and get out that sheep gut in order to make the violin strings. And while they're at it, they may as well shear the sheep to get its wool to make sweaters for the violinists, and also to get the meat there to cook lamb chops for them to consume after the concert.
Mm-hmm. So back to the guts. How do we make them into strings once they're quickly taken out and cleaned? We see the guts are then twisted into strings, dried and polished before being ready for their time on the violin. So they have to get the guts, which are going to be tubes, thin, long tubes, but to make them thinner, they twist them round and round until they're actual strings rather than hollow tubes. You then dry them out and then polish them, make them shiny, maybe add a substance to protect them from water damage, from wear and tear, to make them all smooth on the outside rather than rough as organ tissue would be.
Exactly. So this is part of the process in which they prepare the strings to be used on a violin to give us beautiful music as played by a virtuoso violinist. Okay, that brings us to the midway point in our lesson for today. Let's take a break and listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hello everyone, 我是派老师。今天讲解的是4月29号 Unit 16 Melody in the Gut, The Secret of Violin Strings。这个单元所介绍的是小提琴的琴弦，多数听众都听过小提琴演奏，乐音可以非常的高昂，高水准的小提琴手演奏丝丝入扣。但大家有没有想过，小提琴的琴弦是什么材质呢？大家可能很难想象，在过往，一把把音色出色的小提琴背后，其实是一只只被开肠破肚的羊。当然，现在小提琴的琴弦并不是都只有用羊肠制作的，也有很多其他替代性的材料。好，那我们一起来看学习重点吧。请同学看到第一段第一个句子，看到主要子句 The first notes of the violin flow out across the concert hall。 好，我们看到音符哦，那当然Notes 这里指的不是笔记，而是音符。如果我们想要描述音乐的话，你会用什么来描述呢？这种听觉的东西要去描述好像有点困难，所以我们通常都会用一些意象来描述。那 那最常被用来描述音乐的大概就是水吧。那常常像文章我们也喜欢说行云流水，那音乐也是吗？所以这里呢，在英文当中我们会说这些乐音流淌而过，那英文用 notes flow out， 非常美，对吧？好，那再来看第二个句子， As the violin strings vibrate， 请同学特别注意到哦，第一段的第二句其实就是整篇文章的主旨句，那就是整篇文章的大意。一开头清楚点出主题就是小提琴的琴弦 violin strings， 那逗点之后明白定出文章的方向，那整篇课文内容要介绍的是小提琴琴弦是怎么演变到今日的样貌。再来请同学看到第二段第一个句子， traditional violin strings are crafted， 好，请同学把 crafted 画起来，其实啊它就是讲制作。好，那所以他们是用羊肠所做的。再来第二个句子， these gut strings， 这里的 gut 当然指的就是前面的 sheep intestines。 好，那这些羊肠啊，一刚开始会经过什么呢？一连串很严谨的工法程序。They undergo a rigorous process. 这些处理的过程是相当严谨的。那为什么？因为要移除掉不洁的部分，这些杂质。Complete removal of impurities. Impurities 指的就是杂质。Removal 这里是名词，动词是 remove。You want to remove the impurities completely. 那这里我们用名词 removal. 再来呢，第三个句子更详细的让我们知道到底是怎么样去取的。先把羊给杀了。那杀了之后呢， The intestines have to be promptly harvested. 那接着呢，就会把它的肠子取出来。They have to be promptly harvested.那 harvest 特别用来指呢，像摘取什么样子的器官，我们用这个 harvest 这个动词。
We're going to take a short break now, but please stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Hi everyone, welcome back to the second part of our article. So why use gut at all? Here is the answer. Pure gut strings are unique in their warm, smooth and expressive tone, which means the sound they make has this warm feeling. It's very smooth, it's not kind of rough, it doesn't skip, and it's expressive. The sound of a bow across gut strings does make this really, we could say, an evocative tone. It brings out sort of memories. It seems to communicate a lot of feeling when you use gut strings. But they're not perfect.
They're not perfect at all. They are unique and special in their warm, smooth, and expressive tone. Lots of people prefer these kinds of strings on their violin. However, they have their shortcomings. A shortcoming is a disadvantage or a flaw, something that's a little bit wrong with it. They're not perfect, so they need to think of ways to work around those shortcomings. And we'll talk about what some of those shortcomings are right now. For example, they are prone to producing a lower volume, vulnerable to changes in conditions such as humidity, and lacking in durability. So these are three shortcomings that strings made from sheep gut have. They have the tendency, or they are prone to producing a lower volume. They're just not as loud as steel strings, so the violinist probably has to press the bow down harder on the strings to get a louder sound, and that will probably wear down the strings, and they won't last as long. And they can also change due to conditions like humidity or heat. They will stretch or they will compact or whatever. They just won't be the same as they were when they were first manufactured. So they're vulnerable to those conditions. And also, they lack in durability. They're easily broken and you probably can't use them for very long.
So to overcome these challenges, string makers began winding metal wire around gut strings around 1660, especially around the G string. So, yeah, if you get metal wire and wind it around the string, you'll still get that sound from the string, but they'll be tougher, they won't be affected by moisture in the air, and you'll be able to get a bit of extra volume. So this is an invention that people came up with. I'm sure they tried lots of different ways, and winding steel wire around the string worked, especially with the G string. Why the G in particular?
Yeah, it's the lowest string, so this string being the lowest pitched and thickest among the violin's four strings of G, D, A, and E, benefited significantly from better durability and sound clarity. So the G string is the lowest string on a violin. It produces the lowest note, and therefore it doesn't sound very loud if it's sheep gut by itself. So they need to wrap this steel around that string. And again, we've got four strings on the violin tuned to G, D, A, and E. And, of course, the steel, again, was wrapped around the G string in order to make it louder along with the other strings, and it was more durable as well, and it had better sound quality or sound clarity.
That's right. So people have been using steel around the gut for, you know, almost 400 years. But eventually, other changes were made. Things don't stand still. Things develop, often in response to a crisis or a shortage. And that's what happened with violin strings. We see the necessity for alternative string materials became more pressing during World War II because of a shortage of animal guts. There was a war. A lot of animals were being used for food, or people couldn't farm them. They just couldn't get the sheep to make the strings, so they needed an alternative. They needed something different to make materials with, and that became pressing. It became more important. It became more urgent. It was an issue that needed to be dealt with if they were going to keep in business.
Right. Of course, during World War II, they were using a lot of material for the war effort, so there was a shortage of animal guts. Maybe the animals were being used to feed the troops in the field or whatever, so they didn't have enough sheep around, and therefore there was a shortage of these guts and of these strings as well, so they were looking for alternative string materials. And here in the next sentence it says, consequently, or as a result of that shortage, metal, especially steel, became the norm. Now, of course, metal can include all sorts of different substances. You've got silver, gold, copper, etc. And steel, of course, is made mostly from iron. It's got other elements mixed in, I believe. But steel, of course, is very common. Your silverware, your spoon, your fork, and your knife will be made from stainless steel. So they were using steel to try to make these strings, and steel became the norm. The norm here just means the thing that was mostly used.
So that was working for a while, but then we see synthetics offering a mix of the warm tone of gut and stability of steel gained popularity later in the century, with the Dominant series being a notable example. A synthetic is something that is made by combining different chemicals. You just take a bunch of different things and go, all right, let's make it into something new. Let's make it into a hard one, a flexible one, a thin one, a thick one. It's a form kind of plastic, but it's made up of different chemicals. This is especially true with textile fibers. A lot of the clothes we wear are formed of synthetics. If they're not pure cotton or wool or leather, they will have some of the polyester or some of the other names that you'll see. Rayon, I think, is another one.
Nylon.
Nylon, yeah. All these clothes made of that kind of material, these are synthetics. So they started to become popular because they had the warm tones that you get with gut, but the durability, the stability, the kind of the fact that they don't change as much that you get with a steel wire. So it's kind of the perfect combination. And the Dominant series, this is a big brand name, which is obviously really popular and famous. famous. This is a notable example. So this must be one of the world leaders in synthetic strings.
And it was introduced to the world way back in 1970 by an Austrian company by the name of Thomastik Infeld. Okay, let's move on now to the final paragraph. It says, that being said, we've said these things, but something else is true. Both pure and wound gut strings continue to be used, providing violinists with a spectrum of options depending on different playing styles and requirements. So even though we said that this company in Austria came out with a new synthetic type of string, and even though it was very popular, still people have a choice for strings. They don't necessarily only use the synthetic strings. You can use pure gut strings or wound gut strings, and they continue to be used by violinists all over the world, and they provide violinists, or people who play the violin, with a spectrum of options depending on different playing styles and requirements. Here, a spectrum is just a range of something. Usually, a spectrum is talking about colors, like the light spectrum. If you shine a light through a prism, you'll get to see the spectrum of light, starting from red, going up all the way to blue and purple. So that's a spectrum of colors. But here we're talking about a wide range of options, and it will depend on the violinist, what they prefer, or it might depend on the piece of music, again, whether it's a concerto or chamber music or a symphony or whatever.
Yeah, it could depend on just which part of the world they're playing in and the temperature and humidity there.
Sure.
I'll just quickly mention a pronunciation thing. In that sentence, we've got the word wound. Now, that is either the past tense or the adjective form of wind, so you wind the wire around it, so it's wound. You might look at it and think, oh, should that be wound? Wound, of course, is an injury, something completely different. So make sure you know that that is wound rather than wound.
Very good.
So on to our conclusion now. We see next time you hear the sweet strains of a violin, remember that behind every note lies a pursuit of excellence in both instrument production and artistic effects. So the word strain means the sound of music being played. We often see it as plural rather than just one thing because there are many different sounds. So you might hear the strains of a violin, the strains of, in Taiwan or China, the erhu, that instrument, traditional instrument being played, the strains of a zither coming from an inside apartment, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think of the word strain as describing the sound from a string instrument, as you said, the erhu or the zither or the violin, especially if a bow is going across the strings to produce sound by friction. So you get the strains of those sounds. And every time you hear the strains of violin music, whether you're listening to a classical music radio station or whether you're at a concert, you just need to remember that behind every note lies a pursuit of excellence in both instrument production and artistic effects. And, of course, we've been focusing on the strings themselves. Remember, they have a history. So now that you know these things, it may change the way you listen to classical music in the future. Okay, that brings us to the end of our explanation for today. Here comes our Chinese teacher.
好，接着我们看第三段第一个句子。为什么要去用羊肠呢？原来啊，这种纯羊肠所做的弦，它的音色是相当的独特的。有什么特色呢 ？Warm， 很温润 ；Smooth， 很柔顺 ；And expressive。而且呢，表达力相当的丰沛，也就是所能表达的情感很丰富，因此羊肠弦才会独一无二。但是羊肠弦当然是有缺点的，所以我们看到第二个句子，就让我们知道这一段就是要告诉我们，那它到底有哪些缺点哦。好，那我们就看到第三个句子，这里讲到 the prone to producing a lower volume。声音音量是会比较低的 be prone to 那像我们说 this area is prone to earthquakes 就表示这个地方呢常常有地震所以 prone to 后面常常都是一些问题哦那这里呢就是指羊肠弦它们的音量是比较低的而且很容易受到什么影响 vulnerable to 是容易受到什么影响呢 changes in condition 所以周边的这些环境状况有所改变它是 very vulnerable好，再来就是不够耐用 ，lacking in durability。 那为了要解决这些问题 to overcome these challenges 是有变通的方式，就是在外面呢包覆着这些金属。好，那再来请同学看到第四段，第四段第一个句子我们就看到，原来杨长贤有缺点，而且呢要取得也不是那么容易，所以当然就会有替代的做法，替代的材料，所以 alternative string materials 指的就是替代的材料。好，那再来呢，我们看到有哪些替代的呢？像第三个句子就是合成的这种琴弦，那后来合成的这种人工合成的呢就越来越多人采用了， synthetics gained popularity 就越来越多人采用了。在第四个句子，好，就前面讲到了一个琴弦的品牌，就是呢他这边讲到了就是 the dominant series 这一系列的 the string brand was launched 这个品牌是谁所创的，后面呢我们知道是一家奥地利的公司。好，谁创了什么品牌，我们动词用 launched。 那第五段第一个句子 that being said 就是指虽然这么说，那后面呢我们就会知道会有稍微会有一个转折。好，以上就是我们针对这个小提琴琴弦在过去是用这个羊肠所制作的这篇文章的内容，我们中文讲解就到此结束，谢谢大家。
Okay, everybody, that brings us to the end of our article, Melody in the Gut, The Secret of Violin Strings. Thank you very much for listening us to today. We'll talk to you again soon. For English Digest, I'm Pat.
And I'm Tom. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.